This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Of course, video stream up and running as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter/X. Make sure you subscribe, watch the show on there. Cody's already got his Masters quarter zip on. Masters week.
It's light jacket weather this week, you know? Yeah, it's a little chilly in the morning.
By the time
you leave, you can take it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This afternoon, night. By the time we get to Thursday, which is the first round of the Masters, the weather in Kansas City, at least, is going to be way better, way nicer. We'll have to keep an eye on Augusta. I know we'll have some leaderboard updates from Augusta. Drew, you can do whatever accent you want for those.
Georgia. You got to do it in Jim Nance style. You know,
last year, just the same. It's going to be it's going to be elegant. It's going to be graceful. It's going to be
it's a classy
very
update.
Correct.
Right?
There's going to be no
actually.
Accents.
You won't be.
Does JT know he's on the hook?
You can't. You have to do him Friday. You're not here Thursday.
I do have to tell. I'm gonna have to give JT a heads up. Then
you better.
Yeah, you gotta warn JT. He's in charge of the updates.
Hello, friends.
If JT's
it's
listening,
Thursday.
You might start practicing your Jim Nance.
It's Thursday at Augusta National.
Got to start going.
Leaderboard at the top. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, there's a certain sports book that's giving no sweat first round leader bets.
That's right.
You might as well go all in. I'm high on Angel Cabrera. Fresh out of prison, won the last Champions Tour event that they had.
Angel Cabrera. Nuts as a first round leader? What are his odds?
No, hang on. I know.
Fresh out of prison. You led with that.
It wasn't
fresh
for,
out of prison.
He just
new
won
lease
the,
on life,
no,
you know?
No, he just won the Champions Tour event fresh out of jail. Dead serious.
No,
I'm not
familiar
saying he's
going
to be leading after round one. I have a top 20 Angel Cabrera bet.
Angel Cabrera,
his
golf coach, when he won the Masters, however many years ago it's been now.
A long time.
Yeah, like within the last probably 10 or 15 years, though. His golf coach, when I was in Houston, believe it or not, I'm not the golfer on the show. You guys know this, but when I was in Houston, I did a extra show on the weekends on SB Nation Radio, and it was the Charlie with Charlie Epps, who is well known. You know Charlie Epps?
I don't know him, but I know of him. Yes,
he was Angel Cabrera, not caddy, but like his golf coach when he won the Masters, was with him, and he's very close with him. So I learned a lot about Angel Cabrera prior to the legal stuff because of that. And I did not know he was out of prison, Drew. But
he won. Champions.
I learned a lot about golf doing a show with Charlie Epps. I'll tell you that.
I don't know if it was the first one, but he just won a Champions Tour.
I'm looking at it. Yeah. He won at the old course. It looks like Broken Sound this past weekend.
Yeah. Get your top 20 Angel Cabrera bets in.
I mean, that was on this Champions Tour though.
Okay. I know, but still. But yeah, I'm going to have to remind
the
JT
duck is his nickname.
To be very graceful, to be very elegant when he speaks, you know, he has to make sure that hello friends. Yeah. Very welcoming to the audience.
Well, Jim Nance
you know?
Is stressing out with his Houston Cougars tonight, and then he'll relax.
Jim Nance
Augusta.
He might not be graceful. He might be fired up on Thursday. He might be ready to go.
If
Houston wins, Jim Nance will be on one.
Golf has got to be the easiest sport to announce, right? It's just action and it's slow. What do you mean?
Man,
no, they don't even expect you to fill the time like baseball.
You still have to fill some time, but there's the cadence. The cadence, you have to get up for the right moment. I think it's actually more challenging.
I actually think it might be easy. I think it's the easiest
one. I don't know, man.
Hockey's the hardest. Hockey's the hardest.
Pace is insane.
I don't have any idea how anyone announces hockey.
Yeah.
Every name has like 17 Z's in it, and the pace is nuts.
Yeah,
like I don't even know how they begin to.
I don't think we have it in the system, but the call of Alexander Ovechkin's. Oh, we do actually. I'm sorry. I mean, there you go. This was now that we're bringing it up. This was I don't know if this is the radio call or the TV call, but I heard the radio call over the weekend and it was top notch. I'm hoping this is what it is. 8.95, by the way.
Through center, right side to Wilson, centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores. He scores. Alex Ovechkin scores 8.95. There's a new goal scoring champion, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin. He has done it here on Long Island. His teammates mob him. There is but one. Alexander the Great, the greatest to ever do it in National Hockey League history.
Great call. That was the radio call.
That was a great call.
Kenny Alberts was good as well for TNT.
Was it?
Yeah. His also was very good.
And I definitely didn't think that record was ever going to get broken, I guess. But
good for Wayne Gretzky, too, by the way, for obviously being a good sport about it.
He said Gordie Howe did the same thing for him. So yeah. I don't know. Like, he'd be kind of a baby, honestly. Like, it is good for him. He should do it. But also, like, I feel like it's the expectation. If the guy you broke record did it for you, it'd be kind of lame if you were like, I won't be there. That'd be kind of lame. Same number of games, too. That might be the coolest part to me.
Yeah. That was
There's
the best
no,
part.
Like, questions about, like, the legitimacy. Like,
eras
same number
or
of
anything.
Games.
Yep.
Same number of games.
Yeah, no, that was part of it. We talked about on Friday's show, like, when you were gone, about just records just aren't talked about the same way as they once were in sports for whatever reason. And in Kansas City, I know there are hockey fans, but it's not talked about as much as other sports because we don't have an NHL team. But that accomplishment, that's one of those you put up there that people thought was never going to get broken. So it's pretty cool and amazing that he was able to get it done. Now, it sucks it was on the road instead of in his home arena, but they got two goals on Friday night if you were a Capitals fan. To see that. Someone said, guys not here? Scott Van Pelt once say calling golf is stealing money. I did, but Scott Van Pelt does more.
He said that
coverage.
Like 2 days ago.
He does more coverage than he does like play-by-play of golf, right? Like I know he's more
talking
of a,
about
yeah,
yeah.
That's different than it is like the true play-by-play. But anyway, yes.
He said it on, he said it with Travis Kelce apparently just said calling golf is stealing money. Stealing money. Yeah.
Wait, Travis said that or Scott?
No, Scott Van Pelt. Scott
Van Pelt said it. Because Travis said, hey, let me get in on a turn calling golf. And he's like, it's easy. Like anybody could do it. I'm just saying, like, they expect a slower pace, so they expect even less of you in this. And because when you're calling golf, unless you're in the first few people going out on the course, in which nobody's almost ever calling golf during that time, it's always like when there's almost a full slate of people out there.
Yeah,
there's constantly something going on. All right, he's gonna approach this. He's it's the same information to give. He's 130 yards out. I think he's gonna go with a wedge here. You know, I mean, it's I don't think it's. I think
we're going to head out to Dottie Pepper now on 16. Dottie? Yeah.
I'm not saying it's an easy job. I would do a worse job than the professionals. I'm just pointing out that I thought of the sports. It's easier. Let's talk about baseball, though, a sport in which is also not the hardest one to call, but harder than golf, at least in my opinion, where one player has stood out to obviously everybody at this point, and it's Michael Garcia. Not because we think that there's some like hidden MVP season coming from Michael, but for a player who had a lot of promise very early on here in Kansas City Gold that we thought growth was possible. But last year, we're like, well, you know what? Maybe he's a part-time player. Good defender, maybe a part-time player. Looked like he had lost his spot to Jonathan India. And we're like, yeah, I'm not really sure where he fits. Then they start talking about tinkering with him out in center. And you're like, I don't know, maybe. Looks pretty good out in center. Looks, I would say, pretty comfortable for a guy who's been playing center, I don't know, never up to this point, and is now being tossed into Major League Baseball games in a notoriously difficult center field to play and playing a decent job doing it. And he's hitting. He's hitting. I don't know if it's going to last yet. I don't think we need to like run to the bank and cash it yet on Michael Garcia. But if he's going to play better than every other outfielder, and he clearly is to this point, well, then just make sure he starts every game. Every game, but he needs to make sure that he's playing even more innings if he's going to be better than Renfro, better than MJ, better than Kyle.
He's played in all nine. There's no doubt. So they are finding ways to get him in right now. His bat is a reason why you got to keep him in the lineup. And I think as he gets more and more comfortable playing outfield, which I think he's slowly getting there, the solution, if in fact Melendez or Renfro don't get going and they don't have a better couple weeks ahead of them, and hopefully they do, but if they don't, him, and yes, somebody in the minors like a Drew Waters or Tyler Gentry or whatever could be the part of the solution. But Mikel could also just be, hey, he's going to play center field. I mean, we'll worry about where we put Isbell. Or he's going to play left field. We're gonna worry about that. Like I could see that being part of the plan as well, as much as people want it to be somebody else. So Mikel's making them find ways to put him in the lineup and get him in the game. That's a great thing. And he's stepped up. He's talked about his approach is a little bit different at the plate. He seems like he's a really good headspace right now. I was listening to his interview with Joel Goldberg after Friday's win.
Loose and comfortable. Yeah.
And he's always been kind of a fan favorite anyway.
Yeah.
I think people respect the way he plays, right? Like he truly is like, it's 100% max effort kind of player. People love
plays
that.
Plays with an edge.
Yeah. People love that.
Yeah. And they should, because he's an easy player to root for. I just didn't know if there was like more hidden potential coming there. Now, if you look at it, remember we had the conversation before, who plays the most games this year, mm-hmm. Jonathan India, Mikel Garcia, or Michael Massey. So far, all three have played in every single game they've played. Like the guys, Vinny's taking a day off because they want to just get him a little bit of rest. Isbell's missed a game. MJ's missed a game. And some of these guys, because the way they're using their lineup might also help Mikel. Mikel gets to come in and be free and loose and just like, play where we put you today, Mikel. Third, maybe. Mm-hmm. Left, sure. Center, yeah. And they just put him wherever the hell they feel like. And maybe that takes away this pressure of trying to be an offensive performer. The other part is, versus last year, is they were trying to turn him into a leadoff hitter. They thought that there was enough potential to be like, hey, can you be the most valuable hitter in our lineup? Thanks, Mikel. Super appreciate it. And he has none of that pressure. That is India's job, who is also hitting pretty well and getting on base a ton to start the season, which is his job. And so like the pressure down towards the end of the lineup, he doesn't have any. He's hitting 8-9, 7-8-9 most days. Great. You're going to get a lot more fastballs. You get to play more. You get to move around more. I'm hopeful that he can continue this kind of season where at least there's some balance.
Yeah. And depending again, what happens with the corner outfield spots, we've seen him play multiple combinations in the field already, the flexibility he provides there. And yeah, I agree with the texter that kind of says, hey, like his best position still, put him at third India in left field. Like that's your dream.
Right, and he's playing fine.
But that, again, that requires Melendez and or Renfro figuring it out. And as much as everybody's kind of made up their mind, still your best case scenario, I want to remind Royals fans, is still that Renfro and Melendez get it figured out. That is still the best.
Yeah, you should be rooting for that.
I feel like now people are, I understand the frustration.
Rooting for him to do bad so you can replace him. No.
The production is not acceptable and it has to get better over the next couple weeks. No question. I'm not pushing back on that. But if you want this team to be in its best spot throughout the year, it is still in its best interest that Melendez and Renfro get going. It's not even close.
Because of the way that they're mixing and matching this year, I think even more than games played, the thing we're probably going to have to pay the most attention to is at bats. Like who's getting the most at bats? Like right now, Michael Massey has 4 more at bats than Mikel Garcia. But they've already made their decision on Mikel Garcia. He's got 5 more at bats than Hunter Renfro, 9 more at bats than MJ Melendez, 9 more at bats than Kyle Isbell. They've already told you he's above them in the order. Doesn't matter where they put him in the lineup. Doesn't matter where they do these things. When it comes to who's stepping up to the plate, Mikel, the only person he's still in competition for at-bats at this point, is probably Hunter Renfro, a guy they're paying a pretty good amount of money to not really produce here in the early portion of the season. Now, I would point out it's 9 games. Now, it could probably not be a worse 9-game start for Renfro and MJ Melendez, right? And Kyle Isbell. Kyle Isbell is hitting better than both of them somehow.
I think combined the outfield has 9 hits or something.
I've got the Royals like pulled up right now. 10? Isbell's got 4. Melendez has 2, Renfro has 4. So they have 10 total hits in 65 plate appearances. So that's not great.
No, it's not.
I don't know. I don't need to run the numbers. It's not
good. I think what is most concerning, honestly, out of the group there is Renfro defensively.
That triple was all on him. He does not look like, the arm doesn't look the same.
That's what I'm saying.
The routes are kind of weird. He doesn't look comfortable in right field.
That's what's kind of concerning. Like the bat, you know, you still wait on it. It's early. The defense, though, has to be like, if you're not going to hit, the defense has to be there. And it hasn't. That's the most concerning thing. Like the defense is still there for MJ right now, at least. And I'm not excusing
when
the offense.
When he's in there, he's playing well there.
But Renfro, you're not hitting, and the defense is brutal right now.
You're stuck in a weird spot. I still think that I'd asked you maybe last week, like what's the drop dead date guys like
him. Yeah, it's got to at least be, got to at least get to May, man.
May 1st at minimum. That is like the earliest conceivable. We're sending MJ down. We're calling up, what was the Nick Gordon? What was the name of the player?
The Orioles player they traded for, Nick Gordon.
Yeah, we're calling up Nick Gordon, or we're calling up
first round pick, I think, many years ago.
We're calling up Tyler Gentry. We're calling up Drew Water, whoever. I don't name your guy. But like, we're calling up one of the other outfielders that are the depth position guys. May 1st, probably at the earliest. For Renfro, you and I both know this is a like, probably like, when look up whatever day Omar Infante got cut. That's the drop dead. Like, the drop dead date is the Omar Infante cut date, where
look at $100 shirt from a couple years ago.
Yeah, you need to make it look and feel less bad. When was Hunter Dozier? He felt like he was earlier.
May 27th.
Oh man. Okay. Wow. That one was early. I thought it was like June. June 15th. For Omar Infante.
Oh, for Omar. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, for Hunter Dozier, May 27th.
And they owed Hunter some money too. Like, I mean, they had to eat some cash in order to do it.
I know we're all antsy. It's still 9 games, 10 games.
When did they get back to 500?
Yeah, let's just see. I don't like what I'm seeing. And I told you, out of the three, the most concerning actually is Renfro because of the defense. But it also is baseball, and nobody should be stunned that over the next 6 games, all of a sudden, if Melendez or Renfro do start hitting, it's baseball. So let's, and again, your hope should be, while you might be fed up with the lack of production, I'm with you. The hope should still be that they get it figured out. That is best case scenario stuff for the Royals.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I would like to put it differently than that, but at least they got a couple of guys going that you weren't expecting. Bubic and Mikel Garcia have been major players at the beginning part of your season, so just take it.
All right, let's transition over to the Chiefs a little bit. The draft is about 2.5 weeks away, and don't forget, coming up on Thursday, April 24th, we'll all be up at the Landing in Liberty. It's our fan draft party. Bink, Chris Sotocero, the whole Character Concerns show will be broadcasting live starting at 6. And you'll have a chance to win $965 plus an autographed Chiefs helmet if you can pick the draft correctly. Those draft sheets, if you've been to our party before, you'll have those on site as well. You have to turn them in before the first round begins, before the Tennessee Titans are on the clock, before they probably pick Cam Ward. So hopefully everybody can get that one correct. It gets a little challenging after that. So we'll have a great time. Hope to see you guys there at the Landing in Liberty. And Sports Illustrated put out a mock draft. The reason why we're talking about this one is because it has something that we've not seen in the other 88 mock drafts that our friends over at Arrowhead Pride have been tracking.
They've tracked all 88 drafts from the major players?
88 national mock drafts they have kept track of. This is the first time they have a Chiefs player, the Chiefs taking a running back, I'm sorry, of Ohio State, Travion Henderson. Out of all the brackets, 1% of the time, the mock drafts, one of them, this one, Travion Henderson. The rest have them taking a tackle or a defensive tackle, edge rusher, et cetera.
Scale of 1 to 10. Chiefs take a running back in the first round. How mad are you? 10 being
mad?
Just upset with the pick, whatever. Upset. 1 out of 10. 10 being like, you're inconsolable. Like, you book an emergency therapy session.
Probably a 7
or 8. 1 being like, you're borderline thrilled about it. You're psyched.
Like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
We all want them to get more explosive at running back. Most of the so-called experts say running back's the second deepest position in the draft. If I'm not getting Ashton Jeanty or somebody like that in the top 15, why am I taking a running back at 31 if we agree it's a deep, deep draft for running back? And I've got a second round pick. I got 2 third round picks. Why would I not just do it then? Yes, admittedly, some of this is because of how the Clyde thing turned out, and you should not draft somebody because of how a previous pick turned out. That's a bad approach. If you're Brett Veach, they don't approach it that way. So I understand. But I don't think in a year in which running back is deep, why am I taking it at 31?
That's the biggest downside for it, easily. Even more than just like never take a running back in the first round. The downside is there are reportedly a million running backs. Why am I taking a chance on a running back at 31? Is there like the only way? I think for the sake of like the argument, you know, I would hate this. Like I'll be at like an 8 probably. I don't need therapy for that, but like, I'm going to be mad that you wasted and not wasted because if it works, right? Yeah. When you get Jahmyr Gibbs right, it doesn't mean it wasted or anything else.
I would
still
be shocked. I mean, again, there's a reason why this is the first mock draft out of 88 that haven't taken a running. I don't believe the Chiefs are doing it. So I think, fortunately,
people thought they were taking a running back the year they took Clyde. Yeah. Versus this year, nobody is really bringing it up is a possibility, other than the fact you and I both agree they need a running back in the draft. So like, The only arguments I can make for it are they need a running back. I would like them to take one. I would like them to improve their running back room. They don't have Pacheco for long. Everyone else is on short-term contracts. This would offer you long-term stability and would give you a potential at an elite level offense, which you have now, but this would increase the possibility of doing that. The three wide receivers you have planned, and I think Rashee Rice got cleared to run routes today. So Hollywood, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, and an elite level running back, if you got it right with Travion Henderson, let's say, whoo, gangbusters, right? So the only argument I can make for it is you want to go back to the Kareem Hunt years, those first few games with Patrick Mahomes before he got kicked off the team, and you hope that you can recreate that magic. It seems crazy considering their needs. Their long-term needs at tackle, offensive tackle, defensive end. Like, they don't need a long-term help with wide receiver, so they're skipping over a different skill position, okay. But, like, there are real needs for this team in the short and long term. I don't know why you'd be wasting, I don't know why you'd take a running back.
Yeah, this is not the year. Like, honestly, it's part of it. It's just not the year with
isn't
the
depth. Not to play devil's advocate, but isn't running back technically a longer term? I mean, it's a short term and a longer term need? Because short term, they need one, but longer term, who knows if Pacheco's even going to be able to go after this year.
Right. Yeah, no, I think this will be the last year Pacheco's in a Chiefs uniform.
And do you think that next year's client, all that plays a factor into how you go about it?
One, I think Pacheco has a good year still left in him, but this is probably it in Kansas City this upcoming year. The issue with running back and like the question short term, long term is I think whether it's the draft or free agency, I could always find a running back. Chiefs just got Kareem Hunt last year off the street and he came in and was pretty darn effective until he wore out a little bit and doesn't have the explosiveness that he once had. I understand like if you want the Saquons and the Derrick Henrys, and Ashton Gentes, you're going to have to spend high draft capital to get that or spend a huge chunk of money in a trade to make it happen. But typically, you can find running backs fairly easy in the NFL. So that's why I don't consider running back a long-term need because I think it's fairly easy. If you were devastated after this upcoming season and said they have zero running backs, have to get one. Well, then next year they could spend a high pick on a running back.
I would say running backs are back in the league, right? I mean, they are they're in vogue again. At least we agree with that.
Yep.
So that would be the argument for the Chiefs just decide to go with what's the acting trend in the NFL of Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey,
Guys are rookies.
No, they aren't. They're established. But, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, maybe falls into that range. Yeah. Who are the other really good running backs that have been super young that came out lately?
I mean, Bijan Robinson's been good. He hasn't I don't know if he's been top 10 good.
No.
He's been a good running back.
Not worth the top 10 pick to this point. Now, I told you Ashton Gentry, I think, is going to be a 1,200-yard back immediately. I think he's the real deal, not just because he went to Boise State. I think he's that freaking good. So I will not fault anybody that spends, whether it's the 9th pick or the 12th pick or whatever it ends up being for Ashton Gentry.
I just wonder, if they think, okay, this is a guy that we really like, we don't need him now necessarily, but looking ahead to maybe the position of, next season, it seems like this running back class is really solid just all around in terms of guys that can come in and effectively play right away.
Yeah, so give me one in the second. Give me one in the second or third, then.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Give me one in the second or third. I think all the backs have been really good over the years. That it just even in the league now, Josh Jacobs or Jonathan Taylor or Kyren Williams, James Cook. These guys weren't first round picks. They weren't all taken in pick 31. You can find plenty of good running backs all over the draft.
Up next, that's true. Bucky Irving's a good name to throw out. That's actually a really good example. Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll get you latest on the baseball front down in AA with Caglione. And I don't know if you guys heard Vern on a post-game show over the weekend. I got to play the audio of this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals got their first series win of the season. They're back at it tonight at Kauffman Stadium, 6:40. First pitch, Michael Lorenzen gets the nod. Vern's on deck show, 5:30, right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, the men's national championship game tonight. It is Houston versus Florida. After Duke blew their big lead against Houston late in that one, UConn also won the women's national championship yesterday over South Carolina. On the women's side of things, good for Paige Bueckers to go out the way that she probably would have preferred, right? I think some people were being critical, like, that's what Caitlin Clark should have done. I'm like, stop. It's not everybody's college career is the same. Some people stick around for their senior year, some don't. And hell, on the men's side, how often do you see a four-year player for the same university stick around anymore? We get that a little bit more in women's college basketball, but I'm looking forward to the game tonight. Obviously, Houston and Florida, love a good college national championship game. Should be kind of a battle between, I mean, once again, it's the same thing. A team that can score versus the number one defense in the league or in all college basketball in Houston.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am excited for tonight's game. And I think both programs, like in the personnel that's involved, easy to root for. It's one of those where, like, if it was Duke, everybody's rooting for against Duke, just like they kind of were against Houston. This one, Houston and their story is likable. Florida, some of their players, I think, are very likable. Walter Clayton Jr., as we talked about earlier, is probably the most exciting player to watch during the tournament this year and has become a household name just because of how awesome he's been throughout the tournament. 34 points the other night against Auburn. Elsewhere on What's Trending, how about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays in agreement on a 14-year, $500 million contract extension? That'll start in 2026. No deferrals, that's according to Jeff Passan. Vladdy wanted a new deal, said, hey, I'm not going to negotiate in season. Turns out he'd negotiate a year into the season if he gets a 14-year, $500 million
deal. The money's right. The money's right, man.
$500 million. He knows as long as he doesn't, you know, really screw up in life, he knows he's getting $500 million.
Just as long as he's willing to show up to work.
Yep.
$500 million coming his way. Next up on What's Trending, MU landing UCLA transfer guard Sebastian Mack this morning. The 10-point per game sophomore last year. Should be a good mix into the guard mix 4 Missouri, average actually 13 a game for UCLA as a freshman. People do think there's some more potential there for him. And Florey announcing that he's back with Kansas after waffling over the weekend or the last week about possibly leaving Kansas after entering the transfer portal. He'll actually come back and play for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, that is huge, man. Huge. A lot of concerns about that. And I don't have to go find a center now. So I got a couple key pieces already built onto the roster. Elsewhere, how about Sporting Kansas City? Got its first match victory since, I don't know, 200 and something days. This was, of course, the first match without Peter Vermees. 2-0 also over a rival. That doesn't hurt. 2-0 over St. Louis over the weekend. So nice reset for them, and hopefully they can get some momentum and try to work on some long-term things as well. But that was nice to see, and I'm sure the home crowd out at Children's Mercy Park loved doing that against St. Louis, who had a good chunk of fans show up as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, a win's a win. You got to feel pretty good about that, at least on this end. Don't forget, by the way, lastly on What's Trending, our draft party coming up 2.5 weeks from today, 2 weeks from Thursday, to be exact. We'll be out at the Landing in Liberty. Your chance to win $965 and an autographed Chiefs helmet just by correctly predicting who will get taken and by whom in the NFL draft. Like we said, winner gets $965, up from $610 last year. Jay Binkley and Chris Uno-Sara will be broadcasting live, and everyone else at the station be hanging out with you, the listeners, myself included. I know last time I kept telling you I'd be at Hollywood Casino, and then I wasn't. That was because I had dance. But I don't have anything going on draft night. I will see you all out at the Landing.
There we go. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun, again, as we've enjoyed going up there the last couple of years. I mentioned before we talk about Cags and what he's doing in Double A, three games in to his Double A career.
You don't think that's a big enough sample size to go ahead and call and look, Jack Caglione
up? This is not hating. I can't wait for Cags to eventually
be a
big leader.
Teams aren't going to call somebody after 3 games.
But it's just, and they're not going to call him up after 20 either. So let's just pump the brakes. But while we're pumping the brakes, we can enjoy what he's doing because it was awfully impressive. Meanwhile, did you guys listen to Vern over the weekend? Vern will join us on Wednesday, as he does each and every week. Vern's On Deck show tonight is coming up at 5:30, so you want to get that, and then also listen on your drive home from the K tonight. But he absolutely, it happens a couple times a year, and I love it. Vern just lost it on a caller. Just listen to this.
All right, let's head out to KCK and talk with Steven.
Hey, Vern, happy baseball season. But we've got guys that just sort of look around and wait for the big fellows to do something.
Who are you talking about?
Saying, well,
who are you talking about?
Just have to sort of lay around. I mean, this was happened in the playoff with guys looking, well, we got to let Salvi do something.
Who are you talking about, Steven? Who are you talking about? Put a name to it.
We don't need to let the big guys do something. You need to do something yourself to provide the difference to win this game. We have guys out there who are putting us in a hole in the first place.
Who are you talking about? And what does it have to do with the game? Give me some examples. Don't just speak in these generalities.
Your entire monologue before this game, we have guys that are just absolutely locked into this thing, standing around, looking at other guys, saying, well, he's going to save us.
No, who are you talking about?
Save us. You need to save yourself. MJ.
Saying MJ's standing around, waiting for someone else to do something.
We need to nip this in the bud. We need to nip
what in the bud?
We need to totally nip this in the bud. We shouldn't have to have Salvi save us. We shouldn't have to have Pasquantino save us. We should start saving ourselves or get guys in here that will do it. I'm not gonna stand by and watch us lose all the way through April and May anymore.
Steven, get out of here. God, I wish you wouldn't come back. I don't understand why you follow this team. Steven only calls after losses and says the same stupid things. MJ standing around waiting for someone else to do something. That's your point, Steven? MJ, who was one of only two Royals today to reach base multiple times. MJ, who played the best outfield of the six guys that played the outfield today. MJ, who I hate to break it to you, bud, was the player of the game today. What? Yeah.
Oh, that was Vern post game.
He really doesn't like Steven.
Damn.
Well, he was talking
under his breath and everything.
I think he calls it a lot. And then also, the first 45 seconds, Vern was just asking for a name, and the guy just completely just
he's like, say the name of the person you think is standing around. He said, MJ.
Phenomenal.
And he's like, he played fine today.
Phenomenal.
Oh, man.
So good.
Oh, man. So he only calls after losses, huh? So he called after Saturday.
That's tough.
But we was all not calling on Friday or Sunday.
You know, Look, I've told you I've got some friends that'll text during Royals games and like a lot of stuff like that. The texts don't come in as fast when they're winning. They come in a little faster when they're losing. It's,
of course.
It's how that stuff works. That's weird. All know. We work in sports talk radio. We know that's how the text line works as well.
It's it's easier to do sports talk radio and be negative. I don't want to be negative all the time, but it is easier, hypothetically, to do it that way. But, like, also, stand around and look around. It's nine games. Like, if you wanted to come on and make the legitimate point that is, hey, I still think the back end of the lineup isn't good enough, and they're relying too much on India, Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby to produce the runs, I'm not even going to, like, argue the point. It's probably a fair point here early on, as some of the other guys aren't contributing, other than, like, maybe Mikel's been one of the guys who's stepped up, and a few others have been fine, like Massey or whatever, not been like bad like some of the outfielders. So it's like, I mean, I'll listen to the point, but not like that. I love it. Vern, I did Royals Insider for 1 year. Nobody like gave you any tips on it. And I've done post game for other sports before, but I didn't know what the protocol is on just like burying someone.
Yeah, you can't.
Like leaving a dead body behind.
That show.
And I had not thought about, I wish I had done more of that. And like, they'd all have been in the right, unfortunately. The Royals won 56 games.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're
going to make a comment, Vern, I think, called it stupid. If you make a stupid comment, then you can get called out for it. I mean, that's how this works on both ends, by the way. People do it to us all the time, you know?
Or if you're not going to back up your comment, you know? Like, he's just wrong. Like, I guess part of it is you're not wrong about MJ some of the days, but, like, don't choose him as your example.
No, what has happened
on a day when he's one of the only people who got on base.
Right. What has happened now, because everybody made their mind up already before the season even started.
Oh, yeah.
That if MJ or Hunter Renfro didn't go 4-for-4 on opening day, people were waiting. And I'm not saying that the production should be acceptable. It's not. It's got to get better. Has to.
Yeah.
But so many people were waiting just to jump on top of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're waiting for him to fail.
And that's was very predictable. But only they can now try to change that narrative. They also can't worry about what people are saying, but you know what I'm saying? Like, only their production can change the fans' view of them, the majority of the fans' view of them. So we'll see moving forward. But I get the frustration. But some days, yeah, it's like every night, it's not those two players' fault, though, either.
I did see Vern got a little shout out during the broadcast, you know? They were talking about him on the television broadcast on God, what game was that? Was that Friday? They were Friday?
Oh, I only heard what Rex said.
Man, oh man. Chris was boobalicious today.
Chris, I'm gonna have Ray Gun print shirts as his.
Yeah, we need boobalicious t-shirts. I don't think the Royals team store will sell boobalicious shirts, but Ray Gun might.
Can I? This is like so small, and I'm assuming that when they cut away, he looked up. Wasn't it kind of funny that when Bobby Wood Jr. was coming up to go for the cycle, that every time they showed George Brett, he was looking at his phone?
Well, who knows? I mean, there's a lot going on.
No, I'm saying I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that when Bob, that was all in the lead up to Bobby going to the plate. So presumably when they showed him going to the plate, George was parked up and looking. It's just tough. Tough when they put the camera on you, man. You're not looking up. It's a tough spot. God, I wanted Bobby to get the... I want all the like streaks that make you look like an embarrassing franchise for 30 years to go away. You know, like I liked it when Mike Moustakas and, you know, like home run records. Yeah. It's like they haven't had a cycle since 1990. It's the longest streak in all of baseball. George Brett was the last guy to do it. Come on. I needed
it'll
that Bobby
homer. It'll probably happen at some point in his career.
I want it to be hilarious player. I want it to be Salvador Perez. A guy who... How many career triples does Salvi have?
Oh, I have no idea.
He's got to have one.
Yeah, no, he does.
He probably I bet he's got one.
I bet he's got like seven. I don't know why I think it's seven. That might be too high.
He has 11.
Ooh. I wasn't giving...
His last one was 2022.
If for some reason you're listening, Salvi, I owe you a personal apology. I said seven might be too high, and you had 11. That's who I want to do it. A guy like Bobby gets triples all the time. You know, it's way easier for him to get the hardest part of the stat. I want Salvador Perez to break it. An all-time great Royal breaking an all-time, you know, stopping the streak of another all-time great Royal.
That's I want it to be Hunter Renfro. I want Hunter Renfro to get the cycle.
They break the cycle record. But it's
that's what I want
Hunter
to be.
Renfro.
I want it to be him.
Does he have 11 career triples?
Him or MJ Melendez cycle watch. That's what
tonight.
I want. That's what I want.
So, like, a day after we almost got it from Bobby Witt Jr., instead Hunter Renfro tonight at the K.
You heard it here.
Stops their cycle streak of...
I don't know if he'll be in the lineup or not, but...
That's bold.
Hunter Renfro has four career triples.
How about MJ Melendez?
And he had three in his first 4 years, so he had one in 17, 18, and 19. He then waited until 2022 to have another, and that's it.
Four MJ's got 11 in triples. So
MJ's way more likely.
Yep.
He's got as many as Salvi in his career.
There you go.
You know?
Call your shot right now. Triple or cycle watch tonight. MJ.
Very better hope it's
Tyler Tolbert. Is that our other? Can he get even? No, he can't even get four bats. No. That man hasn't. He's not getting four bats.
I don't know what the lineup is yet, so who knows who's in the lineup? I'm not sure.
Would you prefer Hunter Renfro or Kevin Biggio?
Kevin.
That's a really particular. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun if Renfro gets it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm going with. Is like I think that considering the discussion around him.
Someone says they want MJ to do it tonight just so they can tell Steven to shut up.
All, I was going to say, if he gets it, Vern better hope that it's not a loss. Otherwise, Steven will call in.
Yeah, that's true.
And try to pin it on...
Renfro. He should have had two cycles.
Somebody.
Maybe this team would have gotten the job done.
MJ got the cycle, but it's still not good enough. He's still standing out there waiting for somebody else to do something for him.
I got bad news. I do not think the next player to do it, if it's going to happen in the next couple of months, is Jack Caglione. Despite the fact... He has had three incredible games to start his double-A career. He hit a ball out of the physical ballpark on Saturday. He then followed that up with a 3-for-5 day with three RBI and a walk. This is, by the way, what it sounded like.
The 0-2 delivery. Swing and a high drive. Deep right field. Sound. Way back. That ball is long gone. And that one reaches Elgin Street. Goodness.
When it hits
Jack
Elgin Street, you know.
With his first home run for Northwest Arkansas, that was a no-doubter.
That was in Tulsa.
Yeah, he put that thing out of the physical ballpark. Gold and I are stuck in a tough spot on Cags. Big believers in Cags. Want to see Caglione at the big league level here at some point. Can't wait to watch him hit a home run off, bouncing off of I-70. All of it. Yeah. But I also think... And this is seemingly a more crazy notion by the day. Some players should spend some time in the minor leagues to develop properly so that they are not rushed to the big leagues, so they are more successful big league players.
And he hasn't played right field yet. He's still playing first base, if I recalled, in the entire series.
Yeah, he is.
So he's got to do that for starters.
Games, yeah,
he's got to do that for starters. And continue to hit at the same time. So, like, the next player getting called up is not going to be him. The second player after that's not going to be him either. You know what I mean? There will be multiple guys and multiple moves that are made.
Gentry, Gordon,
him,
Waters,
you know?
All
and that's
on
not
the
to
list
say
ahead.
That shouldn't be excited and all that. Of course, all that is true. I can spill the beans. Like, we've been talking behind the scenes about potentially trying to go to one of his games. So, like, we're all in. But you're going to just disappoint yourself if you think that. If MJ or Renfro or somebody struggle, that he's getting called up next week or a month and a half from now. That's just not happening.
No, but I like the start.
Of course. And
it's
that's
three
why we'll,
games and I like the start. The power, everybody knows. That's not like a mystery. He'll put five more baseballs outside of minor league stadiums over the next couple of months. That's not like that part we know. The whole thing for him is can he consistently walk, consistently get on base, and consistently not strike out? You want to know the things the Royals really care about over the next couple of months for Jack Caglione? Can he hit a curveball? Can he limit the strikeouts? And can he get on base? If he can do those things, then he will speed track his way through the minor leagues, and he'll get himself called up pretty quick. My whole thing is, like, I saw someone earlier send a text.
Well, someone just sent the same text. Can't play worse than blank. Your goal is not to just play at that level.
And to rush a guy to the big leagues just so he can be slightly better than Hunter Renfro. That's not the goal. The goal is to get Caglione up and make him a 7-year starter for the Kansas City Royals. That's my goal. I'm assuming that's the Royals' goal. And so if you, I mean, he's played 20, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like between the fall league, didn't we look this up? Between the fall league and minor league baseball last year, it was like 50 games. And the stats for the high A ball were like kind of mediocre. Fall league were incredible.
Yeah,
and
but just saying, like, even the specific can't play worse right field. Well, he hasn't played right field, so yes, he can.
I think he can. I mean, I don't know.
He hasn't played it yet.
It could
he hasn't
better,
played it yet since what, high school?
Yeah. Like, I go back through again, so the fall league stats weren't as good as what. He's played 50 minor league games before this weekend. In those 50 minor league games, his average was 240 with a 300 on base percentage, and he had like 200-ish at bats, and he struck out around 45 times. So, like, he can't strike out a quarter of the time, and he needs to walk more, and yeah, he's got to be a little more consistent. They just want to see some consistency, that's all. Yeah. By the way, I will say for the Royals' sake, if they want to, like, tip of the flames, if Renfro keeps playing like this and he keeps hitting 565-foot homers...
It'll get louder and louder.
It doesn't, yeah. There's nothing we can do to tell you it's, like, going to be July 20th.
Yeah, like, I just, so this text, I've seen this text a lot, and it's been the narrative, and sometimes narratives are correct, sometimes they're inaccurate. Someone did text and said, if he's a star, he's a star. The Royals are passive, fear of being great. Other teams call up their young stars. Other teams have, there's also, I can give you plenty of examples of other teams that haven't. I don't want to steal the Drive's thunder, but they were going through the other day talking about some, what we consider all-time greats in the league, that what was their timeline? Like Buster Posey, you think Buster Posey got called up after like 50 minor league games?
He played a bunch of games.
He did not. Are there examples of guys getting called up right away? Sure. Also, do not cite me a pitcher, please. That's a whole different ballgame. Don't cite me a Brandon Finnegan. Those are relievers. It's a whole different. That's way different. Don't cite me that. Can you give me one or two? I'm sure. But there are plenty more examples of guys that turn out to be stars that we all think were just going to be great no matter what. And they were on a pretty short leash to get to the majors. And it was still 100 games. It was still 200 games.
Like, how long was Torkelson in the minors?
He was a college player.
Because he's on his last leash right now, I think, actually, in Detroit. I mean, yeah, he's playing okay, but he's...
How many games? That's a good question. You should look up. Spencer Torkelson's probably a good answer. Like, I think about, like, Jackson Chirios, who's a great player.
Sure, yeah.
He's having a great start to the season. He's a great player. But he's a high school player, so it's harder to compare. But he played in the minors. He didn't get called up until 2024. He had played... 250 games in the minors. 300 games in the minors.
Torkelson, it looks like 31. Okay, so 90, 120. My math's right, about 180 games for Torkelson in the minors.
It seemed like Torkelson was pretty quick, too.
I think around 180.
I mean, 180.
It seemed like Torkelson was quick.
But quicker. Torkelson was a college player, right?
Yes.
College hitter. Came out and played 100. Does that include fall league?
I think around 160, if we're being fair.
So right now... He is at 53 if we give him the fall league, if we give him the Arizona fall league. I just mentioned Jackson Chirio because, like, he's one of the best young players in baseball right now. He got up at 21 years old. So you're like, well, he's younger than him.
Because I can give you examples.
Yeah, he's a high school player, but he played 250 probably minor league games.
I'll give you examples on the other end. Like Jackson Holliday, one of the best prospects in baseball. Kid's probably going to be great, but he got called up very quickly last year. They had to send him back down. Yeah. Jackson Holliday, I don't...
That's always the question. It's like, yeah,
he might have been a high school player. Fair. I'm just saying, like, I've seen that narrative a lot. Like, the Royals just like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, there's also examples where it can also screw things up. Some said most of Carrington's numbers were right around at least 200 games. Yeah, like, majority, even the players you think were no doubters and didn't need much time, they still at least got 200 games in the minors. So what the Royals are doing at 40 games is nothing in terms of being patient. It's I have no problem with the current timeline for Jack Caglione.
No, I honestly None think they whatsoever. Should probably take some time. I'm not saying you can't come up this year. I'm definitely maybe interested in that later in the year, but I'm not interested in it today. I wouldn't call him up today, even if you put me in charge, but it is what it is. We'll find out what the Royals think.
But yes, it'll only get louder and louder as he keeps hitting.
Yeah, it will.
And if some guys struggle, but he's not going to be the first name called up to potentially solve the outfield issue, if that's in fact what ends up happening with the corner outfielders. All right, that does it for us today. National title game tonight. Tomorrow, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that. We'll see if the Big 12 can get their third title in 5 years or Florida Gators get their first one since they went back-to-back in the early 2000s. The Drive with C.Dot and Rob coming up next.